Praise the Lord. Don't have to lay such a big foundation. Guy said that he, after service, an elderly lady met him at the back door and said, son, said, you laid the foundation for a skyscraper, and then you set a chicken coop on top of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we don't want to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want the Lord to help us today. Jeremiah 32:8. And, actually 8-15 is the reading. And I'll just kind of, go through it and explain it here. Jeremiah was in the captivity and, he was in the prison, actually. You know, they went into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. But while he was in the prison, the Lord told him in verse 8, that his uncle's son was going to come to him in the court of the prison and ask him to buy a field. And God instructed Jeremiah to buy that field. And he took the evidence of the purchase. There was an evidence that he carried with him, and then there was an evidence that the Bible says there in verse 14, that he took the evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and the evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel that they may continue many days. And so Jeremiah, when they had a land transaction, they would have the documents on them if anybody questioned them about the land purchase, but then they would put it in earthen vessels. And that's why whenever they find documents, old documents like the Dead Sea Scrolls and stuff, usually they'll find them in caves and in earthen vessels, because that was the kind of vaults they used to keep them at. And that's why Paul said we have this treasure which is in earthen vessels. And I'm thankful today here that the Lord has entrusted us with his work. It's a great work in the kingdom of God. And I tell you, my pastor was so forceful about missions. He said, you either go yourself or you send somebody. And I'm thankful that that's been ingrained in me. I like to see missions. I know this is a missions church, and I'm thankful for that. Verse 15 says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now he's going to tell Jeremiah why that he wanted him to buy this piece of ground. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and field and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Amen. God was telling Jeremiah, I want you to make an investment for the future, because I'm going to come back and I'm going to visit this land again. Now, making a good land purchase takes a lot of foresight. You have to try to estimate some things. You have to try to estimate the value of that land 10, 20, 30 years into the future. And, have you ever seen a piece of land you drove by and you said, man, I wish I'd have bought that back there, you know? Some of you young people hadn't, because you hadn't lived long enough. But I've lived long enough to see some things like that. Guy had some land and was talking to him about it. He said, yeah, if you see anybody wants that side, I'd take 2,000 acre for it. Well, he just sold 25 acres of it for $25,000 an acre. That was a piece of that land when I thought, ooh, I'd like to have that for 2,000 acre. Back there 3 years ago. Amen. Praise the Lord. There was a pastor, and he told me, he said, when I pioneered this church 35 years ago, that 20 acres of land over there was for sale for $1,800. Well, that 20 acres of land just sold a few years ago for $6 million. I said, brother, if you knew then what you know now, would you have found that $1,800? He said, I'd have found it somewhere. But times were hard. It didn't look like a good time to invest. It didn't look like a good time to buy. I mean, it did, you know, and that's the way a lot of times, if we're not careful investing in the kingdom of God. Amen. Times are hard, but, I want to tell you something tonight. The purchase that I'm talking about will reap dividends throughout all eternity. Here, it was an unusual time for Jeremiah to buy a piece of land. He was standing in a prison courtyard. yard. And the Lord told him to make an investment for the future. You know what a real estate agent feels like? Property is selling for a lot less than its value in the future. They call it a buyer's market. They will tell you now, in most areas, it is a buyer's market. And I'd like to preach for you a little, to you a little while tonight on it is a buyer's market. Right now is the time to invest in the kingdom of God. God told Jeremiah, you're in the courtyard of the prison. It doesn't look like a very good time to buy, but I want you to make a purchase for the future, Jeremiah. I want you to buy this field because I'm coming back. I mean, Jeremiah was at the place where he didn't even want to preach anymore, but he said it's like a fire shut up in his bones and he couldn't forbear. And I know people have said, well, America's under the judgment of God. And I know that America's certainly done things that's worthy of being under the judgment of God. But I want you to know that in this time of Babylonian captivity, I know that nation of Israel was under the judgment of God. They were going into captivity, but it was in this time that the fourth man walked with the Hebrew children in a fiery furnace. It was during this time that God sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lion for Daniel. And so that tells me even though a nation might be under the judgment of God, a nation is surely forgot God. But when there's a people that humble themselves and pray and seek God's face, that even in that time, God will visit them. I personally believe that in these last days, we can be a part of a last day revival, or we can be a part of a last day apostasy. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of a last day revival. I want to try to see souls saved and victories won. Why? Because God said that he was going to visit again. Amen. Oh, glory to God. One of the things that we need to realize is that we are preserving the move of God, that we're helping every time. I mean, the reason why God wanted Jeremiah to buy the land, because Anathoth, that he wanted him to buy, was a priestly inheritance. It was a place where God's word could be preached. I tell you, I don't think this thing is going to go on much longer, but if it goes on 50, 60, 100 years, and I tell you, hopefully they'll put a sign up there that says 200 years of Pentecost here in London, Kentucky. Why? Because you're preserving the place for the move of God for the future. Amen. I want to tell you, if the rapture takes place and things take place, then we won't need it. But if it don't, we will need it. Your children will need it. Your grandchildren will need it. This community will need it, brother. They'll need a place where God's word's preached, where the deity of Christ is upheld, and the true word of God is preached. Amen. And Christ is honored and faithful, sanctified, living. Amen. He is going to come back in style in just a little while. Amen. I tell you, I was called when I was 19 years old and I bought the field. I didn't know that there'd be a lot of young men that I would teach later on in life that bought the field, brother, that felt the call to preach. Amen. I want to tell you something. I'm thankful that in the middle of hard times, there's still people that's making an investment in the kingdom of God. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. He says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. In the morning sow thy seed, and the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether thou shalt prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. The Lord says, yes, the hard wind is blowing against the church. It's blowing against families. Amen. But keep sowing the good seed of the gospel, because you never know where it's going to land. Amen. What kind of good that it's going to do. The reason that we need to buy the field now and make the investment in the kingdom of God now is for the future. For our future. For your future. That's why that you need to lay up treasure in heaven. Amen. For the future. Here there was two documents that proved a purchase. Jeremiah had one on his person. Oh, I'm glad that we're living epistles. I mean, I'm a landowner in heaven. Glory to God. I tell you, Brother Randy, well, preached a message on surveyors or settlers. Their convocation a couple of years ago, he talked about those that went out to spy out the land. Even the 10 spies were just surveyors, brother. They were just real estate agents showing other people what people owned. But there was a couple of settlers among them, amen, that wanted to be landowners. I want to be a landowner in that kingdom. I tell you, I try to show people the best I can, an example of the Christian life. But if the devil wants to know if I'm a landowner, I got some treasure in the earthen vessel up in the glory world. Amen. When he comes to accuse the brethren and say, is that old boy a landowner? Amen. The Lord can get out that Lamb's Book of Life and say right there, amen, on September the 1st, 1982, he bought the field. He made the purchase for the future. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad that we've got something that's signed, brother. It's sealed and it's ready for the children of God. When you make a purchase, you need to ask yourself some questions. Amen. Is it rare? Let me tell you something. This is so rare that it was purchased by the only blood that is recognized in heaven. It's so rare that the Lord said to enter in at the straight gate and few that there'll be that'll find it. Amen. I want to tell you something. It's rare tonight. It's purchased by that glorious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Another thing you need to ask, is it durable? Will it stand the test of time? How long will it last? Amen. It's one of the questions we need to ask. Brother, I tell you what, it'll last when everything else is on fire. It'll last past the grave and throughout all eternity. Amen. I want to tell you something else you need to ask. Amen. Is will it adapt to the needs in our ever-changing life? Amen. Let me tell you something. You know, sometimes you buy something. My wife said, well, I won't stop at a garage sale. I said, honey, we need to have a garage sale. We don't need to go to a garage sale. Is it something you're really going to need? Oh, this purchase I'm telling you about tonight. Oh, it's the last thing you're going to need, my friend. Amen. When every human being, when their spirit is leaving their bodies and they're going to depart for worlds unknown, you're going to need this throughout all the ceaseless ages of eternity. The only question is going to be asked, amen, is if we've made ourselves ready. Amen. If we have taken advantage of this glorious gospel message. If we've made investments for the future. See, that's what you're doing here. Amen. I read about Louis Pasteur. He was a pioneer of immunology. He lived in a time when thousands of people each year died of rabies. And so he began to work on a vaccine for rabies. And he worked on it for several years. And he felt like that he had it where it would work. And so he was going to infect himself with rabies and then inoculate himself to see if it'd work. Amen. And so a woman heard about it. And her boy, she had a young son. His name was Joseph Meister. And they asked, his mother just pleaded with Louis Pasteur to please inject this young boy with his vaccine. And he said, ma'am, he said, I can't do that. I don't have any idea if it'll work or not. He said, I just don't feel comfortable doing it. She said, it doesn't matter. He's going to die anyway. I want you to do it. And so he injected him for 10 days, and he lived. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I want to tell you something. When old Joseph Meister there lived, Louis Pasteur went on, done a lot of great things in the field of immunology. But when he died, he had three words put on his tombstone. Joseph Meister lived. Amen. Oh, his greatest accomplishment was in the fact that people lived. Brother, I tell you, our greatest accomplishments in life will be when we inject in a good old gospel message. Amen. They lived. I'm glad Mike Shelton lives. Aaron Gilpin lives. Brother Greg Gilpin, others. Amen. They lived. Brother Key, keep on injecting people with this good, glorious gospel. Keep investing in the future. Amen. You never know who's going to live. Amen. 1942, the war was going strong. Charlie Taylor was an old sawmiller. He began to saw up some logs trying to make a living. The Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, Won't you saw up enough logs to build a church? So he listened to the Lord. He sawed up enough logs there to build a church. He built that church in a little community in Texas called Lake Chapel, 1942. I tell you what, brother. I doubt he knew that in 1982 that a young man named Mike Shelton 40 years later would walk in the Lake Chapel House of Prayer, kneel in an old-fashioned altar prayer and give his heart to the Lord. Not just me, but others, many preachers coming out of that church, great preachers, preachers that preach the Word of God, brother. And I tell you what, that old brother, when he was sawing up them logs, he didn't know he was keeping me alive, praise God, but he was keeping me alive. Amen. You don't know who you're keeping alive. It may be your children that you're keeping alive. Your grandchildren that you're keeping alive, brother. Amen. You're keeping alive this church and this community by the investment that you're making. Jeremiah was keeping the, he was keeping the Word of God alive. He was doing what God told him to do. Amen. I want to tell you what, when I went to Bible school in 1986, there was a time, I mean, I'd been saved since 82, and went to Bible school in 86. Right about 1988, I came back. I was supposed to preach in my home church that night. Amen. I got up from the dinner table and I told my parents, I said, I'm going to preach tonight, so I'm going to get ready. Amen. That night, my mother walked in at the Lake Chapel House of Prayer. She answered the altar call and gave her heart and life to the Lord. And here I was, thought I was just keeping myself alive. Brother Ken, I was trying to stay in there with all I could. Amen. And my mama came and got saved. I didn't know I was keeping her alive. In 1997, when I went to teaching Bible school. Amen. I was trying to obey the Lord. I tell you, in 1998, I went back to Texas. My dad was there. And he said, would you take me to Paris, Texas? So I took him. And about 5 minutes into that trip, he began to weep and cry. And he said, Mike, he said, I'm sorry I never took you to church. I'm sorry I never prayed with you. He said, but I never thought that God would hear me. He said, I got down on my knees in the living room. They had a big plate glass window in the living room. He said, when I knelt down, I looked up into heaven and I said, God, if you're real, I want you to show me. He just started weeping like a baby. And he said, Mike, he showed me. It was like a light that came through the window into my soul. Amen. I want to tell you, I didn't know that I was keeping mom and daddy alive. Who knows who you're keeping alive? Other people, brother, when you make an investment in the kingdom of God, you're not just keeping yourself alive. You're keeping those children from Haiti alive. Amen. Peru and Guatemala and everywhere. Amen. If I ask people who D.C. Branham was, about everybody knows who D.C. Branham was. He was a great man of God. If I ask people who Brother Cole was, Dennis Cole, they never heard of him. Amen. But he was the one that started Bible Holiness Assembly of God, see. In a little 20 by 30 building with just a little old basement. And when he was doing that, I'll guarantee you, Brother Ken, he didn't know that he was keeping Bible Holiness Assembly of God. And Brother Taylor told me, by the grace of God, he says, brother, he said, we're going to have to build on or something. He said, we got to do something. He said, we're running a solid 300, maybe 350. He said, and then with the students here, we're going to have, you know, 400 or 500. Amen. But old Brother Cole didn't know that's what he was keeping alive. He didn't know he was keeping OBI alive and OBI Guatemala and everything that's going on since then, brother. I want to tell you what, it pays to stay with the stuff. Amen. You don't never know who you're keeping alive. Amen. Praise the Lord. But if you come to the piano, I'm getting ready to close. But I want to tell you something. Amen. God, He'll make it worth your while, friend. I was looking down the hall at those graduates and I was thinking, you know, you only got one life to invest. If you invest money and you lose it, you might get it back. But when you invest time and you invest your life, that's all you got. You can't get another day of it. And sometimes as a preacher, you don't really know if you're ever doing anybody any good or not. I mean, if you work at a tire shop and you fix a flat, you put air in it. If it holds, you done good. And if it don't, you didn't. So, but when you're preaching, you don't never know really if you help anybody or not. I mean, I remember I was laying on that wall looking at those graduates. And I say about 227 of them I counted there that had been through since I've been there. 104 of them in the ministry. And over 75% of them still saved and going on for God. And I was thankful. I'd like for it to have been better, to be honest with you. But I remember I was leaning on that wall. And if you've been to OBI, you know that there's thousands of blocks. I mean, they built it out of blocks. There's thousands of them in that facility. And I was leaning on that block wall. And I felt the Holy Ghost speak to my heart and say, I know who laid that block you got your hand on. And God began to speak to me, brother, about investment in the kingdom of God. He said, I know who pulled the wire and who hung every light fixture in here. He said, I know who done it. And there's a lot of people worked on that building. He said, you know, I had made a statement to some of the students that I've been there 12 years going into my 13th year. I've taught over 7,000 class sessions. I didn't know exactly the number. God said, I know exactly how many you've taught. He said, I know every message you've preached. I know the text that you've taken. I know the title you've given every one of them. Amen. And he said, I've got everything covered right down to the last drink of water. And I want to tell you something, friend. You keep on going. You don't know who you're keeping alive, and God knows everything. Brother Huff, I saw him here this morning, but I would tell you, he brings tears to my eyes to think, great man of God, done a work for God. Brother Jarvis here and others, brother, I tell you what, you got to keep this thing going because you never know who's going to walk through the back door. You never know who you're keeping alive. Amen. You never know what difference your investment is going to make. But I will assure you this one thing, that God knows. Right down to everything. There's some of you here, you've been in this church for a long time. And if I was to ask you how much money you've given in this church through tithes and offering and everything, you might can make a guess of it. But really, you wouldn't know. But God knows right down to the last copper. He knows everything that's been done. And he said, for us to keep on going and buy that field, brother. Amen. I want to tell you what. You read about it over in Matthew 13 where it said there was a man found a treasure. There was a treasure hidden in the field. Amen. And the Bible says when he saw it, he went and sold everything that he had and bought it. It's indicative that he had a lot of stuff, but he sold it all and bought that one. Probably when he was selling off some of that stuff, people said, you're crazy. There's probably been more than one person that told Sister Rachel, said, what are you doing? I know there's a lot of people that's told me that, brother. My dad, man, I had a business. I mean, it was rolling on, man. And when I stopped to go to Bible school, to teach, man, my dad, he said, why are you doing what you're doing? He said, look what you're doing. Look what you're doing to your kids. Look what you're doing here. Amen. But I want to tell you what, it's been worth every mile I've traveled. And I've done what I've done because I heard the voice of God and did my best to obey it. And then we'll just have to see, amen, who made the right decisions at the end of the line. People say, oh, you're wasting time. Hey, we're all spending time. Some are spending it in a factory. Some are spending it here. Some are spending it there. But we're all spending time. Amen. We're investing in the future. But let me tell you something. Somebody left that treasure in the field. And I'm telling you tonight, don't leave it in the field. Amen. The Lord said, I mean, it was worth everything. Would you stand with me here tonight? Amen. Glory to God. Why do we need to buy now, Brother Shelton? Because the Lord said that he's going to come again and he's going to receive us unto himself to where he is there. Maybe also he said, occupy till I come. He said, make the investment now because I'm going to come again and visit this place. You know, one of the bad things about being dead and not investing in the kingdom of God is that we're not keeping anybody else alive. I tell you, my boy, he's really made a turnaround here lately, brother. I tell you, since he's been in the Air Force, God's really been dealing with him. He called me today. He's been going to church. A guy came and got him to go to church, but all he wants to talk about is the Lord. And he's been downloading sermons, and he's been doing things, and he's made a huge turnaround. My daughter, Kayla, she's quit her job this year, going to work at a Christian school, going to try to invest in the kingdom of God. Married brother Tyler Harris. He met my daughter, Chris, and she goes with me just about on every trip, plays the piano, sings. Man, my boy Eric here is trying to buy the field, brother. I'll tell you what, money can't buy it. Hallelujah. Keep on investing, church. God knows. But you don't know who you're keeping alive. Amen, but God does. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Is there anybody here you'd like to be a landowner? You'd like to make that purchase tonight? Amen. You'd like to say, Lord, I want to keep investing in the kingdom of God. I'd like for everybody in the church, let's come. Let's pray and let's ask the Lord to deal with our hearts and help us to keep making that investment in the kingdom of God. Friend, He knows every mile you traveled. He knows every dime you spent. He knows every class you've talked. He knows everything that you've done. Amen. Parents, you need to keep your children alive and your grandchildren. Glory to God. Amen. You never know. Amen. Who you're keeping alive right now. So buy the field and make the investment. It's going to be worth it in just a little while. Amen. Oh.